You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The New York and D.C. media are breathlessly calling for Trump's indictment. On the one hand, it's good to know there are still some crimes liberal media personalities think should be prosecuted. On the other hand, many Americans still have questions. These questions are not political. They're factual and legal. If you're contemplating indicting a former president, I think we're entitled to more than 38 pages of black lines and some DOJ leaks.
Absolutely. This is August 29, 2022. That is Trey Gowdy, former senator from South Carolina, Republican, now a Fox News host of his own program. We are live streaming right now at rumble.com. You go to rumble.com and simply in the search engine, place one word, Larry Connors, USA. All is one word. It'll take you to our previous pages, and you can also see the button to push and join us live in studio. Remember, any programs you miss, you can always go to rumble.com and pull them up. And, of course, the audio broadcast will be posted later today at larryconnorsusa.com. So there's Trey Gowdy, former federal prosecutor, chair of the House Select Committee on Benghazi, which was partly responsible for discovering the Hillary Clinton email server, if you remember. And Gowdy pressed to prosecute Hillary Clinton during the 2016 campaign because she had that secret server filled with all kinds of information. Now, exactly what? We don't know, do we? Because Hillary Clinton and her lawyers decided they would decide what the government should see. 60,000 plus emails. They turned over about 30,000. Hillary's saying, the other 30,000, they're just, personal things, scheduling yoga class, picking out curtains, and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, right. The government didn't ask to see the others. They just said, okay, you make the decision for us. So here's Gowdy saying, we need to see more than just these redacted pages that were presented the other day on the affidavit. And you couldn't help but appreciate his line to see that libs are calling for the indictment of Trump on criminal charges. He said, well, it's good to see libs have some view that some crime should be punished. That redacted affidavit is purely useless to the public in general. Now, it claims it's protecting witnesses. That's why so much redaction and future investigations, wherever that's going. They intentionally left the name of Kash Patel, though, unredacted. That was a slap in the face at the Trump administration, a little mockery on behalf of the Department of Justice and the FBI. See, Kash Patel served as chief of staff to the acting U.S. Secretary of Defense under Trump, and he's apparently cited as a witness on different documents and so forth. But they left his name in, and he says, I'm getting threats because of that now. So, see, they were good about redacting names that might show us the real collusion behind this thing, but they made sure to put Kash Patel's name front and center. Well, the outrage over the student loan forgiveness escalates. Even Democrats are upset, saying this is not going to do us any good. In fact, it's going to harm us. And one of those speaking out is was a chief political advisor to Bill Clinton, and is still considered a Democrat pollster and analyst, and he says this is not going to go well. And, of course, Democrats are among many of the hardworking that had to pay for college for their kids, or still trying to, or themselves, and they're thinking, well, why did I go to that trouble if now you're going to turn around and just give it out? And I remind you again, the timing of that and the FBI raid, they all had to do the midterm. And I remind you again that the student loans, you can look for them to push it up to 50,000 forgiveness before 2024. Because that's really what the progressives want. The timing would just have to coincide with the next election. Our guest today, Fred Flights, with America First Policy, Institute. He has 25 years of intel background. What might be behind the Biden curtain as they are again pushing for a deal with Iran? Also another example, lib hypocrisy, climate extremist, while jets sitting around the world. And then there's a push to have credit card companies call out your name if you're buying a gun or ammo. And then we've got a drag show, kid-friendly, but Antifa, masked Antifa man standing there with an AR-15. What could go wrong with that situation? We have a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Make sure your friends, your family are aware we're on the air right now. And you know what you need to do right now, too, don't you? Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof. Plus, quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. And all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls inside my brain. I'll scream loud tonight. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm all right song.
This is Larry Connors, USA. USA.
What they've done here is unconstitutional, and maybe most importantly, it's unfair. I mean, Nancy Pelosi herself said several months ago that the president can't do this on his own. He can't just forgive loans. There has to be a bill that goes through Congress, actually right. Debated and voted on by the legislative branch. So it's unconstitutional in our judgment. And as folks on the Judiciary Committee, we'd like to give what's his rationale for this. But more importantly, Americans instinctively get fairness. And they know this is unfair. It's unfair to the machinist in Ohio who's now having to pay for the gender studies major at Harvard, for goodness sake, for their student loan. So the unfairness question, I think, is what really gets Americans, because as human beings, we all instinctively get fairness. I mean, from the time you're a kid, if your brother gets two cookies and you get one, somehow you're mad about it. I mean, we get fairness. So this is not fair. And the country understands that.
It is simple as that. Your brother or your sister gets two cookies, you only get one. That's not fair. Well, sometimes life is just not fair. That's true. But, I mean, come on. Are you giving the extra cookie because you're to be rewarded because you did something extra and special? Is that why your sibling is getting the extra cookie? Are you getting one less because you did something wrong when you were told not to? But the student loan forgiveness that Biden has put in front of the American public, and they've yet to explain how they're going to pay for it. They just continue to just don't answer that question because they don't have an answer. $500 billion handout. That's what that amounts to. Or put in another way, $500 billion to buy votes. Exactly. They're assuming that if you are a student and you're trying to pay your college debt, that you were actually going to try to do it anyway, that you will vote for Biden and Democrats because of this. Well, actually, there are some members of the Democrat Party say this is not good. It's going to blow up in our face. Part of it gets down to the story or the remarks that you just heard at that point from Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, Congressman Jordan. He said, this is not fair to the welder in Ohio. Why should he pay for someone's kid, even if it's not his own kid, to go to college to learn about transsexualism or things of that nature? Really, why? Why do you want to pay for someone else's kid to go to college? If you're willing to do so and step forward, then you do that on your own, and that's great. That's more than gracious, and you're to be commended. But this is a giveaway veiled as a way to help when it's really buying votes. That's the attempt. The other thing to keep in mind here, my grandfather on my mother's side, I remember distinctly sitting with him when I was probably, I might have been 18, probably 17, something like that. And he was complaining about having to pay school taxes. And his remarks were similar to this. I don't want to pay taxes for the schools. I don't have any kids in school. And I remember daring, don't think I haven't been outspoken all my life. I said, Paul, you had kids go to school. Somebody's paying for that at the same time. Well, I'm not paying anymore, and I don't have kids in school. But at one time he did. But that's a public education. Nobody says you have to pay for someone else's education. If it's a state school, you're obviously seeing money collected to go for that. But now we're talking about going back in and forgiving any other loan that they may have. And the crucial question is this even legal? This actually goes back to the very basis of the Obama health care plan from the beginning. Remember the battle that ended up in the U.S. Supreme Court was the president does not have the authority to require you to buy something, which is what you're going to have to do, and it involved appropriations of monies, and if any appropriation act is attached to anything, it has to go through Congress, the House, by Constitution. That's what Congressman Jordan was referring to. And to back it up, he cited Nancy Pelosi making a statement. And yes, Nancy Pelosi made the statement you heard the congressman say. Listen to Nancy Pelosi from the words of the Speaker of the House herself.
People think that the President of the United States, is this more on the subject than you ever want to know? Will you let me know? People think that the President of the United States has the power for debt forgiveness. He does not. He can postpone, he can delay, but he does not have that power. That has to be an act of Congress.
Yeah, but, and even Biden has in the past admitted, oh, I can't really forgive those loans, but he's doing it, at least at this point, trying to. Now, the other day, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy said, if Republicans win control of the House, which hopefully they will, he said, we will immediately put a stop to that. We will file a lawsuit, and we'll probably be joined by hundreds, thousands of Americans willing to file suit against the president for doing that. And quite honestly, even if the Republicans, God, I hate to say this, even if Republicans do not gain control of the House, I expect that hundreds, if not thousands, of Americans are willing to join a class action lawsuit to prevent federal government from paying out $500 billion to pay off someone's student loan and forgive $10,000 to $20,000. And I'll remind you again, as I said in the opening monologue, the timing of this is going right into midterm to get those votes. And Senator Schumer, leader in the Senate for now, and the progressive left are constantly pushing, let's make it $50,000 loan forgiveness. And watch for Biden to try to make it $50,000 as we move closer to 2024 election. Watch it. Mark my words for it. I said the other day, put it down, because that's what's going to happen. You can do it again. Here we are, August 29. Larry Connors said it again. They're going to push for 50. They don't care because to them it means nothing. It's not out of their pocket. It's not hurting them. Everything this administration is doing is hurting Americans. Let me share something with you from Nathan Blake, writing for The Federalist, one of the contributors. He said, Joe Biden and the Democrat Party are forcing the working class to pay back the student loans of their leftist supporters. That's the intent, obviously. He said, the bailout of the academically indebted confirms Democrats are no longer even pretending to be the party of the working man. This giveaway forces carpenters to subsidize Harvard law grads working prestigious federal clerkships before cashing in with big law. Engineers who worked hard to pay off their debts to cover the tabs run up by underemployed sociology graduates. Of course, if the left had their way, those sociology graduates, they could be going into gun zones and so forth where a lot of shootings and murders have taken place. And instead of sending police officers, they'll send in a young sociology graduate. Go in there and talk to those people, see if you can, you know, tell them to put down their guns and be peaceful. You don't want your child taking on that job. But Nathan Blake continues in his Federalist article, the proposed student loan bailout is bad policy on every level. It adds hundreds of billions more to the inflationary inferno, and that's a clear fact. It creates massive perverse incentives, true. Colleges, and here's a real key here, can keep raising tuition. Students can keep borrowing to pay for it while hoping and lobbying for another round of bailouts. And then he adds further, it is regressive. Regressive. It transfers money from the poor and working class to the well-to-do. I thought the left and the libs were all about, we're going to punish the rich. We don't want to do anything to help them. That's exactly what this does. And of course, he adds, to add insult and more injury, this is happening as the IRS hires tens of thousands of new agents to audit ordinary Americans and their businesses. And I pointed out again the other day, these colleges and their endowment for their endowments in hand could cover a lot of this if they chose to do so. Harvard University, as of 2020, had $42 billion of endowments stashed away. $42 billion. Yale University, $31 billion. University of Texas, $31 billion. Stanford, $29 billion. Princeton, $26 billion. And on and on and on. I'm talking to a professor last night at a university. I'm not going to identify which one. He said, you know, we have a substantial amount, yet we're really very low on the list. He said, we have $1.4 billion. In endowments. I said, really? I'm surprised. That much? He said, yeah, but we're way down the list, maybe in the top 40 to 60. And that's understandable, see, because you have the top, it's like rating TV and radio network as far as demographics and sales. You get the top three markets, New York, L.A., then you add in Chicago, Detroit, whatever the next third and fourth and fifth, and then pretty soon you get to the difference between 12th and 13th market might be only 100,000 people, but it still is enough to rank them a little bit higher so they can charge more for ads in that community, for radio and TV. But then you've got those on the left that are clearly saying this is not good policy. You want a clear example? This is Paul Begala. Paul Begala appearing on CNN's State of the Union. Paul Begala, Democrat strategist for Bill Clinton, still continues to be a Democrat strategist and pollster. And he says, this is not good.
Democrats, I'm a progressive. I want to help folks. But I think this is terrible policy. Politics, we saw. Tim Ryan is in a tough race in a tough state, and he can't stand this idea. Senator Warren is all for it. She's not exactly from a swing state in Massachusetts. Senator Catherine Cortez Masto from Nevada got a tough race. She doesn't like this. Michael Bennett, the senator from Colorado, he doesn't like this. Democrats, good Democrats. Sharice Davids, one of the more impressive Democrats, the only Democrat in Congress from Kansas, she doesn't like it. So what is my party doing with this? They're disadvantaging. I think they're not helping the people that we're here to help, which is poor people and underprivileged communities. And they're not helping their politicians who are running.
Bang. Right in their face. Paul Begala is not helping Democrats, is not helping the party, not helping those running right now, and they're against it. You want another flash support? Senator Bernie Sanders, Vermont, responding to questions about those Democrats criticizing Biden's, that would include Begala and other Democrats, $500 billion bailout. He said the criticism is correct. In other words, they're right. To go ahead and complain about it is not good. He agreed that Democrat criticism of Biden's student loan bailout is not good. In fact, he said it really doesn't even help people who cannot deal with these horrendous student debts. But on top of that, it's not good. Then you got FreedomWorks economist Steve Moore stating that Americans are opposed on this. He said we have people that have tripled their tuition above inflation over the last 35 years. It's like a dog chasing its tail. So what I think the solution should be, maybe we could get a bipartisan consensus. If somebody goes to Stanford, they're making $125,000 a year. Why isn't Stanford on the line for that unpaid loan rather than the taxpayers? Exactly the point I was making about all the endowment billions these universities hold. When Biden came into office, he said, we're going to unite the nation. The very first thing he did was start dividing us, even more so. That story coming up.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on. Size of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie, and I'm starting to feel you, boy. Come on, let's go. Real slow. Don't you see that this is perfect?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I was there on Inauguration Day during his speech when he said we need to unify the country. And we all agreed with that, frankly. And then what did he do? 2 hours after that, yeah, he went to the Oval Office and signed 21 executive orders that divided the country. And here he goes again. I mean, this is as Mercedes pointed out, this is like when Peter Strzok said to Lisa Page in that one text message, when he's in the Walmart in Northern Virginia, he said, I can smell the Trump supporters. The disdain they have for, yes, for conservatives, for Republicans, for President Trump supporters is wrong. And again, the country understands that.
Yes, they do. And again, that's Congressman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio. And it is true. In his inauguration speech, you heard Biden say, I'm going to unite the country. And then turn around and do exactly what you heard Jim Jordan point out, and much more since that time. And then he's calling on Democrats, as of last week, to vote to literally save democracy again. And you think this helps when he calls Republicans semi-fascism, leading off a kickoff rally and a fundraiser in Maryland? We're addressing, they call an overflow crowd of thousands at Richmond Montgomery High School. It's a high school. I mean, it's a high school. I looked at the gymnasium. I'm not even sure they had the full gym floor open up and all the seats. And when I saw the seats, most of them were empty. There was not that much interest. But they're calling it here an overflow crowd of thousands. I don't know what the final count was. I could care less. It's the message. Where he said, your right to choose is on the ballot this year. The Social Security you paid for from time you had a job is on the ballot. The safety of your kids from gun violence is on the ballot. It's not hyperbole. The very survival of our planet is on the ballot. Yeah, it is. You have to choose, will we be a country that moves forward or a country that moves backward? Everything he just said, they're making worse. They're not helping. If, just take the point where he said Social Security you paid for is on the ballot, it's not just a matter of how much Social Security you get. But if they're going to tax you anyway or give away money they could put in your Social Security fund to keep it alive, if they got $500 billion to pay off student loans, why not pay off the working Americans who worked their butts off for that Social Security? They didn't take a loan. They did exactly as they were told and work, and you would get this at the end. Now they're being told, well, it may not be enough. It may not be there when you're ready for it. But then on top of that, to turn around and just start calling, he made a reference, actually, to MAGAs, MAGA Republicans. He said, well, I like Republicans. I like conservatives. I can work with them, but MAGA people, oh, my God. By that, he's insinuating again that Make America Great Again, which was a Trump slogan, that that's not a good idea. He just wants to lump them in, right? We are going to see Biden is planning right now. He's talking about having a unity rally still to come. But I don't know how that's going to go because to some extent, just the other day, you had New York Governor Hochul telling folks, if basically Republicans, you know, if you don't like it here, you should just get up and leave. Get on the bus, go back where you came from. Go to Florida somewhere. That's 5+ million residents of New York State. And they said, no, I wasn't talking about all. I was talking about the MAGA-type Republicans. Is that not creating more divisiveness? Of course it is. I'll take you back very quickly and remind you that when Obama began his second term, and yes, I do think that Obama caused some of this divisiveness to start, and it gave birth eventually to Trump. But in his last 4 years, I said Obama has a chance now to be a real statesman, to bring our nation back together. He didn't. And coming up, plans that the Biden administration has involving Iran is going to put the world in jeopardy, much less our nation. You don't want to miss the next guest. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My next guest we've had on numerous times. In fact, for several years, always glad to have him. An expert, 25-plus years in various intel positions. Now the vice chair of the America First Policy Institute Center for American Security, Fred Flights. Fred, welcome back on board, sir.
Hey, Larry. Good to be here.
So word is beginning to circulate again that Biden administration is just going to push forward with an Iran deal. What's the latest you've heard? Let's begin at that point.
Well, I didn't think there was going to be a deal just a couple of weeks ago.
I'm sorry, it broke up. Did you say you thought it would or would not?
I did not think there'd be a deal just a few weeks ago, but it looks like they're close to an agreement right now. There are a few hang-ups that they're trying to resolve. The biggest one is that Iran would like investigations of its covert nuclear work. This is stuff the Israelis discovered in 2018, to be closed. And the Biden administration is trying to finesse that to try to not say they're not closing them, let Iran make a few statements, and then they'll quietly be closed. But it looks like Iran wants a commitment up front not to close them. I think this could be worked out. But I'll tell you, Larry, the most interesting thing, maybe the most outrageous thing I just read in the draft proposal, and this is according to an Israeli newspaper, is that there's a provision that Congress will vote to approve the agreement. And all Congress has to do is to approve it by a majority vote in each house. The problem is, that's not the way the Constitution says treaties are supposed to be ratified.
No, it's the Senate only, to begin with.
The Senate has to vote on them with a two-thirds vote.
Yes.
There's no way to do this. This isn't legal. The Biden administration can't rewrite the Constitution because they want to put through this bad Iran deal. But that seems to be the plan.
I did not know that. I'm glad you pointed that out to the audience. So it's part of the proposal that the Biden administration has put together that we will take it through both houses of Congress and a simple majority will approve it as a treaty?
Well, officially, this was the European Union's proposal, which they put to the Iranians. But I mean, look, we know this didn't come out of nowhere.
No.
The Biden administration wants to have a vote on it in Congress. This is obviously the Biden administration's language. They're going to claim it's the European Union's language.
I see a piece that just crossed today that the Iranian president is warning his country will not be a party to any nuclear deal if UN inspectors did not drop investigation of undeclared nuclear sites. And that's similar to what you were discussing a moment ago. And issued a threat to Israel against carrying out military action. It's escalating, and we're still supposedly just talking.
Well, Iran was censured in June by the International Atomic Energy Agency Board of Governors. It was a very mild censure for not cooperating with uranium traces, enriched uranium traces at three sites that were discovered by the Israelis when they stole these documents from Iran in 2018. It's unheard of that the IAEA sanctions Iran because, and I mean the Chinese and Russians didn't vote for it, but the majority of members did, and the Iranians were pretty upset. This is evidence of a covert nuclear weapons program, and it looks like they're moving towards sweeping it under the rug. Apparently, the Iranians want that to be much more explicit.
So these traces, and apparently they're at least three different locations.
At least three.
And by we say traces, we're talking about some minute particles you can't even see are larger than that.
Yeah, it's interesting. What happens is, and this happens over and over again, someone has intelligence of a covert nuclear site. The Iranians clean it up. The IAEA goes in there, and they find minute traces of enriched uranium that the IAEA can detect, but the Iranians can't because the detection capabilities of the West are far beyond what Iran can master.
They don't
so
know
they can repaint a building and remove the earth, but the evidence is still there.
And they don't know that?
Well, the Iranians and North Koreans, they've made this mistake over and over again. They think that they'll clean out the building, they'll repaint it, they'll remove a leather of earth. I'm not kidding you. They'll water down the outside of the building, thinking that will make the uranium traces go away. Well, it doesn't.
The problem is, though, they almost have, correct me if I'm wrong on this, I don't see the International Atomic Energy Commission had ever really done its job on any of this, even during the time that we had, quote, the deal that Obama, his legacy deal he struck. Were they properly doing their job at that time, or were they just kind of walking around the edges?
Well, I mean, they were making some observations, even in 2015 when Obama was coming out with this deal. The problem is the IAEA works for its members, and they did it. They actually talked to the Iranians in the fall of 2015 before the nuclear deal was implemented, and Iran gave a series of false answers on an investigation of covert nuclear weapons programs, and then the Obama administration in December 2015 said, well, thank you very much. Iran has answered enough. We're closing the file on Iran's covert nuclear program. And I think that's what the Biden people plan to do.
Didn't we have a problem with even getting into some of the sites because they were military installations?
Yes.
I say we. I mean the International Atomic Energy Commission.
Well, one site where a substantial amount of covert nuclear weapons activity went on, Iran finally agreed to an inspection of the site, assuming that they did it. They sent in their people. And even though they did it that way, minute particles of enriched uranium were still discovered, even though the Iranians did the inspection. But, I mean, the inspection was just, if you send inspectors into a site, they have the right to inspect anywhere they want, to inspect places that the nation in question wouldn't expect them to go. But the Iranians inspected themselves. This was, you remember, we talked about this years ago.
Yeah.
This, I heard someone compare this to NFL players mailing in their own urine samples for a drug test.
Yeah, that's exactly about right. You're listening to Fred Flights, Vice Chair of the America First Policy Institute Center for American Security. Fred, the other point here is that it's not just, you know, those of us who are, have a legitimate concern about what Iran will do, and this administration seems to be clueless as the Obama administration. Israel, of course, is speaking out against it. And there are other countries in the Middle East, and we're seeing, I thought I saw some things beginning to cross regarding Iraq earlier today. What's in play there with Iran and Iraq?
Well, let me quickly on Israel. The Biden people are claiming the Israelis support this deal. We talked to them. Well, when the Israelis looked at the deal, they said, this isn't what you promised us. We don't support it, and we won't be bound by it. And they're basically implying we will continue to blow up nuclear sites in Iran despite this deal.
Yeah.
There's a lot of complicated stuff going on right now in Iraq. You may heard that the presidential palace was raided by protesters. There's a lot of unrest there. And I'm still studying this, so I'm not going to comment on what this means. I hear the reports that U.S. diplomats were evacuated by helicopter in the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. That is not true, but there is a huge amount of unrest there right now.
Would that be some of the terrorist groups coming out of or fueled anyway by money from Iran?
I think some of the groups are Shiites backed by Iran. Some of them are Sunnis. It's complicated because there are actually Shiite leaders who are anti-Iran, and they don't want Iranians in the government. Yeah. I mean, it's that complicated.
The whole area, and of course, it's decades of looking for revenge, and not decades, generations. And a quick closing remarks, even if somehow or another this deal is put together, it's the amount of money and everything else that's going to be involved, because this also involves lifting all the sanctions against Iran, right?
Iran will get an estimated $1 trillion in sanctions relief by 2030 and $7 billion in the initial stage by the end of the year. By comparison, they got $150 billion in the JCPOA in 2015, $1 trillion in sanctions relief.
That means money going to terrorists, no doubt.
Terrorism, military, meddling in the region, nuclear missile programs. And, I mean, what's really offensive is Iran would not agree to language in the agreement to stop trying to kill American citizens. They were asked to do this, and they refused. You know, that should have been a deal stopper. We can't negotiate with states who will not agree to stop trying to kill our citizens.
Point made. Fred, as always, thank you very much for your expertise and sharing it with the audience.
Good to be here. Thanks, Ira.
We'll do it again. Fred Flights, Vice Chair of the America First Policy Institute Center for American Security. As I said, this administration really is either clueless or just thinks, well, it won't happen on our watch. Just what Obama said, that doesn't mean it won't happen. Coming up again, trying to indoctrinate your kids. This time, let's go for Satan. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, "Yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador." Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
If you don't believe, I mean sincerely believe, that you've got to be vigilant about protecting your children for indoctrination when they go to school, when they're out of your sight, out of your hearing, what they're being told and shown, make this as another marker. Now, I know before I even begin, some are going to say, well, there are Christian programs held after school sometimes. And there are. And there are some Jewish programs held. And there's some others. And then, of course, we also now at a point where they will hold LGBTQ events after school. And I'm not at this point trying to demonize, and I use that word in particular, those LGBT or whatever else they're doing. But don't you reach a point where you say, we have enough? We haven't. Should we not draw a line in the sand and say, no more? But don't back up and draw another line and say, okay, we'll let you have that one. You're going to have to be firm at some point. Let me just point this out to you. There is at a Pennsylvania high school, they have approved for an event to be held after school, hosting After School Satan Club. The Satanic Temple in the area is going to host it. In Dillsburg, where a local school board shot down the Satanic Temple from hosting an After School Satan Club at an elementary school back in April. So now they say, well, we'll aim for the high schoolers. Back in April, the parents and residents found out about it, and they made some noise out of it. One resident said, they already took God out of our schools. Now they're going to let Satan in. It's just crazy. Amen. Another parent say, there's already a lot of evil already in this world. Why allow it to come into our school and our community? It's not okay. Well, of course, the spokesman from the temple said the event should be viewed similarly to religious freedom law. We're talking about upholding fundamental pillars of democracy and the First Amendment. That is exactly what happens every time with the left and the Democrats. Suddenly, they're concerned about the First Amendment and the Constitution if it gives them a privilege at your expense. The satanic leader said, again, we're talking about upholding fundamental pillars of democracy and the First Amendment. The temple recognized or announced it was recognized as a church, has a tax-exempt status by the IRS since 2019. And actually, after the Roe v. Wade decision back in June, the Satanic Temple deemed itself, quote, a beacon of light in pushing for pro-abortion policies. The website claiming that satanic abortions are protected by religious liberty laws. What do you think our greatest generation would have thought of all of this? Those now into their 70s, 80s, well, older than that. We're talking about 90s that fought World War II, Korea. I'm listening with a friend the other day, and he said, I'm going to flip it to a Sirius channel while we're in the car. He turns it to a station that's airing 40s music, big band swing era, stuff like that, Benny Goodman, Ella Fitzgerald. And, you know, I just kind of flash back. When I grew up, it was sometimes playing in the background at the house on the radio. And I thought of my dad and he and his comrades fighting in World War II. It was kind of the music that they lived by, and they were fighting for a country and its principles. And unfortunately, the First Amendment right gives someone else the right to burn the U.S. flag, as we're probably going to see in a test with the Satanic Temple holding its after-the-school gathering. In contrast to that, I want to point out something Florida Governor DeSantis is doing today. He was scheduled to appear at a $25,000 per plate fundraiser for Republican Lee Zeldin running for governor in New York He's going to go up there and help him out. But he's going to stay in Florida and attend a memorial service for Special Agent Jose Perez, a member of his security detail that died last week from injuries sustained in the line of duty. Perez was hit by a drunk driver. He survived 18 days, but then passed away. His family's holding a memorial for him today, just one day after Santos was scheduled to appear at the fundraiser, and he said, I'm going to go Sunday, go back to Florida so I can be there for the memorial. There's a man that has some priorities and in the right place. In the next hour, and you don't want to miss it, we're going to focus more on the FBI Trump raid. And some are saying FBI now stands for Federal Biden Investigation or FAR Biden Investigations. I remind you, we're talking about FBI leadership, not those in the field. But you don't want to miss the second hour. I ask you to please stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.